I need you to understand that this is not a position of exalting. It's not a position of power.
Amen.
It's not. Can I get another amen?
Amen.
It's not a position of personal glory. It is one of the truest, most relentless, often joyful, recurringly grueling ways that we can serve Christ is to take responsibility for a family of his sheep. And we have seen in some of our family years and years of faithfully doing exactly that. And tonight we celebrate and acknowledge God's work in raising these up to serve us. The word pastor is a synonym. It is the same as the word shepherd. And sometimes in Scripture, depending those who are called to the preaching and teaching and shepherding of God's sheep, sometime in Scripture, depending sometimes on the translator, it's translated shepherd or pastor or elder or overseer. It just means someone that God has given the recurringly terrifying responsibility for those who are his sheep. But he acknowledged from the very beginning of time that the real shepherd is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When David, 13 centuries before Jesus came physically, was talking about who he is, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." And that is the work of a shepherd. The work of a shepherd is not to be the boss over a group. It is to restore souls. It is to feed the hungry. It is to pour Jesus Christ, the true shepherd, into the hearts and lives of those that he has given us to protect and feed on his behalf. When Jesus got here, he was trying to explain what that is to shepherd the sheep. And he acknowledged that he was the first shepherd. And a couple of weeks ago, in a lesson that I preached right on this stage, I shared with you a piece from John chapter 10, where Jesus was explaining what that job is. He said, "Therefore, very truly, I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I'm the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved, and they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy, but I have come so that you can have life and have it to the full." And then he said, "I'm the good shepherd, and the shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man who's just the hired help cares nothing for the sheep. But I'm a good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." It is the God-given responsibility of those who would stand assisting the good shepherd in shepherding his sheep to feed them, to protect them, to love them, and Jesus said, to know my sheep. And here's the really tricky part for us. "And to let my sheep know me," he said. I have been in pastoring ministry since I was 23 years old. It's over a decade ago now. I said over. My entire adult life, I have tried as best I could to follow the call of the Good Shepherd to help him do what he does. And most of those chapters of my life, the scariest thing I could possibly imagine is not to know my sheep, but to let my sheep know me. Amen. That's a terrifying thing for a shepherd of the sheep. Except here. This is the first chapter in my life where I have felt completely okay not being okay. To turn to my sheep and tell them what really hurts me. And be encouraged all the way out of the hole I'm in. To fall in a hole and say, I have fallen in a hole. And be helped back up out of that hole. Amen. And that's the extra joy of you in the shepherding process. The very first shepherd specifically personally called by Jesus was in that little piece of time, just a matter of days, in that little piece of time between when he walked back up out of his tomb and refused to stay dead, conquered and destroyed death for his people for all the rest of time. And then he had a few more days before he went, as he said, to prepare a place for us so he can come get us and take us where he is. And in that little gap, he gathered together his closest circle of buddies, just a handful of them, and spent a few days giving them last-minute instructions to help continue the work that he came here to do. And it's not by accident that he called his buddy Peter first. It's a really good reason for that. Just a few days earlier, after swearing that he would stand by Jesus all the way to the death, the night they arrested Jesus and Jesus was standing in front of a mock trial that was going to take his life a few hours later, and Peter's off at a comfortable distance but within eye shot to see what's going on, and when people said, oh, you're one of his, you remember, not once, not twice, three times, he cursed and swore. I don't even know that guy. I don't even know him. And then Scripture says, Jesus turned and looked at him. Can you even imagine? Can you imagine at the moment that you're screaming, I've never met Jesus, I don't know him, and to have him physically turn and look you right in the eye? It says he ran off into the dark, grieved and weeping. So he comes back, and his buddies are out fishing and having no luck at all. And Jesus comes up, and it says they were kept initially from recognizing him. And he came up, and he said, what are y'all doing? And they said, we're out here fishing. Have any luck? Haven't caught a thing. Jesus says, why don't you throw your nets over on the other side? And don't you know, who is this dude? I'm a professional fisherman, and he's going to tell me how to do my job better than I'm doing it. But they did it. And they caught 153 fish. Amen. In those nets. I don't want to see any of your penny ante fish pictures on Facebook until you can show us 153 of them. And then it says that Jesus cooked them breakfast. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? See, some moments in Scripture are hard for us in English because the language these words were originally written down in had a lot more words for love and like than we do in English. We cover everything with love. You know, I love going to the movies. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my country. And I love God. And it's all love. They had all kinds of different words to describe very specific affections. And it kind of went like this. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I like you a lot. And Jesus said again, feed my lambs. And again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, but do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord. You know that I'm extremely fond of you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, but do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And the Lord said, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And that was the beginning of God's tapping people for the frightening, overwhelming, recurringly terrifying job of being responsible for a group of his sheep. The Apostle Paul sent out some young preachers to go to each church and find those people that the Spirit was doing that work through. And Paul wrote these directions to one of them in Titus 1. He said, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders, shepherds, pastors in every town as I directed you. This person must be blameless, faithful to his spouse, whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's house, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who's self-controlled, upright, faithful, disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he encourage others by sound doctrine and oppose and refute those who oppose it. We have carefully over many months, carefully, prayerfully sought God's wisdom. I explained to the church a couple of weeks ago, and if you need more explanation from me, I'll meet with you later. But I explained to the church a couple of weeks ago that we desperately need additional shepherds in the next chapter of our lives. In the next chapter of this family, we need more help. And we sought, and God answered.
Amen.
I'm not sure exactly when it was, but it was some time ago. My buddy, my little brother, my war buddy, Matthew, came to me, and then separately he came to Shay. And he said, I really want to help you. This family, it means everything to me. I want to help you take care of them. And Shay and I kind of smiled and laughed because how often do we have somebody say they want to do something, you know? We blew him off. Truth be told. Oh, that's so sweet, Matthew. Thank you. We need some, bless your heart. If you need some help, we'll get back to you on that. And a couple of weeks later, he pulled me aside and Shay aside, and he said, "No, I need you to hear me. I'm serious. I want to help you take care of these sheep. These sheep are my family. This family saved my life. I want to give back for that. Let me help you give back for that." So we began the next week. Shay and I would meet every week with Matthew and begin to teach him and mentor him what we know, our experiences, what we understand about feeding and shepherding God's sheep. We have referred to it, I mentioned the other day, we have referred to it as the STS, the Serenitarian Theological Seminary. And it has been our great joy to watch him frantically soak up anything we poured his direction. Amen. You know, it's hard in any church I've ever been in. Forgive me, people, but a church full of drunks and junkies and assorted broken folks, it can be hard to find somebody that you can hand something of great importance over to that has to be done and done right and never have to look back over your shoulder and see if it's being done. And Matthew is that gift to us. When we give him a responsibility from the most trivial and mundane to something where people's lives are at stake, if we give it to Matthew and say, "Take care of this, take care of these folks," it's done and done well. And so it is our great joy. It's our great joy tonight to recognize we are not appointing him a pastor. We are simply acknowledging what Christ has already done.
Amen.
We're acknowledging the work that Christ has already accomplished in one of our brothers' lives. So the first one I'd like to call and stand right here, my brother Matthew.
Please be seated. My name is Shay and I'm an overcomer. All right. So since I've been the closest to Lauren here on the stage and begged and pleaded for her to take this position, I get to do this, and I'm so honored, absolutely honored. Many of you know how through the past year we have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for someone to fill that position. And we went through a whole lot of people, and it was kind of fun. It was a lot of fun to have all the different ones. But there was one particular person that we kept praying about. We kept praying about. And
begging.
And begging. Begging her. And God saw fit to answer that prayer. And so I asked Hope this afternoon, I said, "What, if you have to say one word, what is it, what's that one word that describes Lauren?" And she said, "Joy."
Amen.
She said joy. And I was like, "Yes, absolutely." That is right. And so I started thinking about how to describe Lauren and who she is and what she is. And in Psalm 66, praise God for what he's done. And this says it's for the director of music, a song, a psalm. "Everything on earth, shout with joy." There's the word. "Shout with joy to God. Sing about his glory. Make his presence glorious. Say to God, your works are amazing, because the power of your great Because your power is great. Your enemies fall before you. All the earth worships you. and sings praises to you. They sing praises in your name. That's exactly who she is. And that's what she does. See, when she first came to Serenity Church, she was in the rotation and our very first night here. Earlier in the week, I'd contacted her and said, okay, you know, be there at 5 and all that. And she says, well, I need everybody's email address, and I need to get all the song list to everyone and all the chord sheets to everyone, and who do I get the slides to? And I said, Lauren. And if anybody ever knows her, she's really organized. Amen. And we're really not. I said, Lauren, we don't do that. We show up on Saturday night and you teach us the songs and we play them. Frightened. She told me later on, she goes, I thought I was going to have a panic attack. But now, I was just telling her, talking about that story earlier before the service, and she goes, oh, I wouldn't have it any other way now. Right. So comfortable. And that was the goal, is to make Lauren feel comfortable here. And I believe she is now settled in and a part of this family. Amen. So that's why I'm so honored to introduce to you our new worship leader, right. Lauren. Come forward. This one. There's a lot to be said there.
Amen.
And I'm just going to start out reading Exodus. But Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been a skilled speaker. Even now, after talking to you, I cannot speak well. I speak slowly. And I can't find the words sometimes. Then the Lord said to him, who made a person's mouth? And who makes someone deaf or not able to speak? Or who gives a person sight or blindness? It is I, the Lord. Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, please, Lord, send someone else. And the Lord became angry with Moses and said, your brother Aaron from the family of Levi is a skilled speaker. He is already coming to meet you, and he will be happy to see you. Amen. That tells our story. Mm-hmm. My brother Stephen. That tells our story. See, almost 8 years ago, John came to me and said, we need to plant a church. And I said, who? And he said, you. And it petrified me. See, I'm not a skilled speaker. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was scared to death. But months before that, God had sent Stephen to play the drums for us. And I got to know him, and became a pretty good friend. And I had heard that he had been preaching in prisons and homeless shelters, and he had mentioned that. And one Friday night, he said, hey, would you like to come with me? I said, sure, I would, absolutely. So we went to Dallas, and I saw this man preach in front of 400 people, 400 homeless folks, man, and just lay it down. And I said, God, could he be my Aaron, please? And God said yes. And just as the scripture said, Stephen was glad to see me. He said, absolutely, I'll take that on. And he has been relentless in South Dallas for the past almost 7-8 years. We've been there 7. We're working on our 8th year now. There's a bunch of guys that have come from the church there, Serenity Church Metro, and And we thank you for being here tonight. I'd like to ask Ricky to come up. And Ricky is a deacon at Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church, but he is also... He is also part of the leadership at Serenity Church Metro. He's there every week, opens the doors, and makes sure things happen. Without Ricky there, we'd be in bad shape. Let me tell you. Yeah, without Ricky there, it just probably couldn't be done. And so he's asked to come and say a few words tonight.
Yeah, Ricky. Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you, Stephen, for being there and coming and admitting to the service to the recovering addicts. But just thank you for being there. And, thank everybody for just keep us in our prayer. Thanks, Stephen.
Amen. Amen. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Ricky. So I want to read what this says. This is a certificate of ordination. Recognizing the call of Jesus Christ on his life to follow his footsteps as a good shepherd, to pastor our flock as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and seeing that he is already hard at work serving and living his life according to the very specific scriptural instructions in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, as evidence that by the Holy Spirit's work in his life in removing defects of character and producing instead the fruit of the Spirit. We, the undersigned, hereby certified that Stephen Romo was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained on the 25th day of January 2020. Amen. We're going to go ahead and ask Judith to come up and say a piece.
Let me introduce Judith real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pastor Judith, for years and years, was the senior pastor of First Methodist Church here in the colony, right up the street. And it was while she was doing incredible ministry in our community that Stephen came into her life, and it was Judith who was the one who was there to encourage and mentor and launch him in the direction that we see him going today. And we're real grateful, and it was very important to Stephen that this woman who was there at the very beginning and encouraged him share his evening with him.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I remember when Stephen came in the church because he tried to avoid me like the plague. And he was really, really somber. He never smiled. And he cut out the door before you could go through the line ever. And I would just chase him down. There was no getting to him. And finally, one day, I just stopped him. I encountered him. I introduced myself. We shook hands a little bit. Still no smile at all. And then he started coming through, shaking my hand. Then, eventually, he kind of talked to me, but still didn't smile. And it was like that song, "O Brother, Where Art Thou?" It was like that piece that says, "Oh Lord, show me the way." I have never in my life seen a single person be so prayerful and intent on,
Amen.
"Please,
right.
God, show me the way."
Amen.
He started singing in the choir. He started playing drums for us and doing various things. And then he came to men's Bible study early at 6 a.m. on weekdays, put together bicycles from parts for people who were trying to improve their body and soul, then started going to Dallas for people, speaking the word to them, people who were trying to improve their body and soul. And on Christmas Day of 2005, I baptized Stephen.
Amen.
Amen.
And he has been, you used the word relentless. Relentless. It has been the most amazing thing to watch him. And he smiles all the time. You know, it's the light. It's the light of Christ that you can see in him all the time. He smiles all the time. And it's like now he's saying the rejoinder to that song. He's saying, oh, brothers, oh, sisters, oh, fathers, oh, mothers, come on down. Don't you all want to come down?
Amen.
Surely you do come down to the river and pray. So, Stephen, I'm just so, so glad that you said, like Isaiah, here I am, Lord. I know you've called me, so send me.
Amen.
So thanks be to God.
You just need to wait right there.
Over and over, Jesus said, I need you to speak your faith. I need you to confess your faith. I need you to confess your commitment to me and my sheep. So I want to ask these three, as Stephen moves in as the lead pastor of Serenity Church Metro.
Amen. Amen.
As Matthew picks up the torch that Shay has carried so faithfully for the year, through the years as our recovery pastor.
Amen.
And this lady, we didn't even have to ordain.
Yeah.
She came prepackaged and ready. Shay and I, who have loved her for a long time, Shay and I had the privilege of going one night to a big church in Plano that was packed, wall to wall, filled with excited people. And we witnessed the Wesleyan Church, who are our family here at Horizons Church. The Wesleyan Church, she had finished her seminary requirements and done everything that that denomination requires to be recognized as a pastor of the sheep. And they officially ordained her that night, and we got to sit on the very front row and watch it happen. So tonight, we, with great joy, commit her and commend her as our worship pastor.
That's right.
Yeah. So the question for you three, do you promise with God's help and through his power to faithfully shepherd the sheep that he's entrusting to your care and keeping? Do you promise to love us, to know us, and to feed us, and to stand between us and the wolf when he attacks, and to live a life worthy of his call? And when you fall, and you will you allow us to lift you back up? And will you fight beside us in the battles ahead? Comfort us when we're hurt and celebrate our victories together all the way home. Will you signify by saying, I will?
I will. I will.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, people, sit down. You're not off the hook.
No.
Hell yeah. Yeah. It's real fun to watch them sign their lives away. Now it's our turn. And church, Serenitarians, do you promise to love, encourage, support, and lift up those whom the God has called to shepherd his sheep? Do you promise to protect us from the attacks of the enemy and those that the enemy would use to distract and discourage us? Do you promise to walk beside us in the glorious adventure that God has prepared for all of us and fight beside us in the battles that will come? And if you will you signify that by standing?
Absolutely.
While you're standing,
Scripture often refers to God commissioning into a special work his people through the anointing of oil and with prayer and the laying on of hands. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Judith to come in a moment and pray for Stephen, that God will bless him and protect him. And then I'll have the honor of praying that same prayer and anointing my brother Matthew. And then Shay will follow that by asking God's blessing and anointing on our new and blessed relationship with our new worship pastor.
Amen.
Let's gather in. Come on in.